This is File 43, Cycle 3. Today's date is July 13th, 2018. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Janine Coleman. She's going to talk about her life and times with the Oblong Valley Players, Tri Arts, Sharon Playhouse, and anything else she wants to talk about. But we'll start with, what is your name?
Janine Coleman.
But it's officially...
It's officially Virginia.
But Janine is much sweeter. How did you come
Virginia
to...
Virginia is a state.
Well, you're a state of contentment. How did you come to the area?
I came to this area for a teaching job.
And where did you teach?
I was teaching in the Silver Lake District of Massachusetts, which is just west of Cape Cod.
And when did you come to Salisbury Central School?
September 1969.
And how many years did you teach at Salisbury Central?
39.
That's a good long time. You saw many changes.
I did indeed.
How did you get interested in the theater?
Probably as an outgrowth of the teaching experience. Teachers are on stage every day.
Oh, yes.
But I was introduced to community theater by colleagues.
I think you said Doris Alexander?
Doris Alexander, yes.
Lee Collins?
Lee Collins.
And what community theater did you get involved in first?
Oblong Valley Players.
Where were they based?
They were based basically in a tri-state community group. We would play in any venue that offered us a free stage.
That makes sense.
So we played town halls, we played church.
Mm-hmm. Church, parish,
whatever.
And when did you, do you remember when you joined the Oblong? What year?
I don't remember
70s?
That. Somewhere in the 70s.
And how long did you stay with them?
I stayed with them until we finally disbanded.
And you must have disbanded about 88, 89?
That sounds about right.
And were you in Oblong Valley Players when you did The Music Man, or had you gone to Tri Arts by that time?
No. I was not actually doing theater at that point. Tri Arts was not in existence.
But you were in The Music Man in 1989.
Yes.
You were Mrs. Paru.
That was the most delightful experience in terms of being a performer that has ever occurred. Because I did not audition.
And I want you to tell me about your non-audition.
Well, the phone rang at home. It was Ray Roderick, who was directing at that time. He came up from New York City on weekends with his wife. At that point, he was performing one of the major roles in Cats on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife and Michael Berkeley wanted to come up to this area to be away from the city and maybe their dream, have a theater.
It's a good dream.
It was a great dream. At any rate, the three of them had decided they wanted to do Music Man on a shoestring budget, of course. And they contacted Lee Collins for suggestions who to cast. Mm-hmm. And Lee recommended me for Mrs. Peru.
How did he know you?
He was in Oblong Valley Players with me.
Ah, okay. Okay. So you went to audition for Mrs. Peru.
Yes, I did. And I read a bit, and then Ray wanted to know if I could sing for the role. And I said, you'll have to find that out for yourself. He said, all right, I'm going to play a tune from the show. I'll start singing, and when you feel comfortable, join in with me, which I did. And then after a few lines, he dropped out, and I sang the rest of it for him. After I finished, he looked at me and he said, I want you for my Mrs. Peru.
Perfect. Couldn't get better.
It was for me. That was my audition.
Oh.
No competition, no lines.
Oh.
Just the director's undivided attention sitting next to him on the piano bench.
That is marvelous. That is marvelous.
It was marvelous.
Now, I'm assuming that Tri-Arts was sort of formed by Ray Roderick?
Was Ray and Sarah Roderick and Michael Berkeley were the three principal minds behind it.
And roughly, when would that have been? In the 90s?
I think it was earlier than... It might have been so long ago.
Well, if Tri-Arts didn't exist when you did The Music Man in 89...
Okay.
Then it would have to be... Later. 89 or 90.
Yes.
Okay. How did Laurie Belter get involved in that?
She was a performer. She was a dancer in the show.
Okay. She wasn't in The Music Man. I don't remember that she was. And I would. I would remember that. Because
she may have come in later.
She may have, yeah.
After it was put together.
Put together.
Yeah.
Because Marshall Miles was Marsalis, and Lee Collins did the barbershop quartet with some of his
Houstonics. Yes.
Okay. That was a good show. I remember that show. After you formed Tri-Arts, there must have been some kind of a board of directors or...
Well, there was a core group of us after Music Man closed at the Playhouse who said this was just too good and too much fun to have it end. We need to start something. And so we all, there were probably six or eight of us, sat down at Sarah O'Connell's dining room table in Amenia and said, let's see what we can do. What would be a show we could do? We have no venue, we have no money, we have ideas, we have creative people, and we have people who are willing to work. What could we do? And one of the three art people, and that would have been Ray. Or Sarah or Michael. How about Annie Get Your Gun in a circus tent? Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, sure.
And we all thought about it, and Elaine Simoncini, who...
All right, now, how do you spell the Simoncini?
S-I-M-O-N-C-I-N-I.
And it's Elaine.
It is Elaine, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
She ended up being our treasurer, so she was always thinking about money. And she said, well, how much would it cost to rent a circus tent? Is this something we could do with our cash assets, which are essentially nothing? We pulled our resources, talked to a few people in the area that Elaine knew, who had...
Contacts.
Yeah, contacts, and access to cash. And said, we can do this. And that's when we decided we would do Annie Get Your Gun in a circus tent.
And where was the circus tent pitched?
Next to the Catholic Church in beautiful downtown Pine Plains. They have a big lawn area right next to the church. That was an empty lot.
Ooh,
perfect size to pitch a big circus tent. Plenty of room. So we had parking available. We had to mow that big field, but that wasn't a huge issue. It just was a matter of renting and setting up the tent and getting together a cast and the rest of what goes with it.
You had a good story about the lady that was Annie.
That Sarah Roderick. During our rehearsals, she announced that she and Ray were expecting a child.
Oh, God.
During the summer. And we all said, that shouldn't affect you doing the lead. As long as you feel
good,
go for it. And she said, I'm an experienced performer. I can do this. As the season went on and the show went on, we kept letting out her costumes on a nightly basis. But she did it, and she did the entire run with no substitutes.
And she sang the song, Anything You Can Do,
I Can Do Better. The end of which is a contest between the two leads, who can hold the note the longest. She won every night.
Oh. Oh. Is this where the skunk story comes in?
It was during that run, yes.
Do tell the skunk story.
Okay. I was part of the chorus during that show, so I was on stage all the time, pretty much, and had a wonderful view of the audience as well as the stage performers. Well, we were in the mid-show. It was, a weekend, so we had a full house in the tent. We'd been serving popcorn outside the tent area for our customers to come in and really give the carnival atmosphere.
Yep.
And mid-show, I happened to look down. I was along the aisle. And what do I see wandering down the aisle among the seats but a skunk.
Ooh.
Who was happily wandering among the seats, picking up and eating popcorn.
All right.
No one realized the skunk was there, except as I elbowed a few people on either side of me and nodded. Those of us on stage watched as the skunk worked its way down toward the stage, one row at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody realized until the skunk was all the way up to the first row. And Mr. Luther, who's an auctioneer in Pine Plains and had several of his children were in the play, he was sitting in the front row and happened to look down and see the skunk. Very quietly, he simply stood up, walked over, reached down, picked up the skunk by the tail, walked off stage right, and heaved it. Most of the audience that night never had a clue it happened. Those of us who were on stage were dying, thinking he was going to get sprayed along with the entire company. Never happened.
Oh, good.
Dave Luther said he'd learned as a farm boy that if you ran across a skunk, that's how you could deal with it. Because as long as that tail was upright, yep, it wasn't going to spray.
A piece of trivia that I've now learned, just in case. Oh, my. How many years were you in Pine Plains? Do you remember? Because you went
from... Well, we went from the tent to... We rented the old Carvel warehouse space. And we were in negotiations with them for several years. Because at that point, it was part of an estate. And the trustees kept promising us they're going to donate, they're going to do this with it, they're not sure, and it went on and on for several years. And finally, we said, we can't do this anymore.
Tell me about the Sound of Music.
Ah, Sound of Music. Hot summer. No air conditioning. We had big fans going, but as a nun wearing full habit in that show, it was brutal.
Yes.
Just before the show opened, we had everything lined up, big fans that didn't make a lot of noise, and we had to turn them off during the show so
sure,
you could hear. But we were managing. Our mother superior called from New York with appendicitis.
Oh, dear.
Excuse me. Of course, unable to do the show.
Sure.
On short notice, what do you do? Well, if you're Ray Roderick, you call down to the city and pull in some favors, and on the next train up, Marnie Nixon, who was probably the least known voice of most musicals of that era. She did the actual singing for most of the big film productions that were done by people like Natalie Woods.
It would be the lip-syncing.
They would lip-sync.
Oh.
It was Marnie's voice that you heard in most of the big shows.
Okay.
She came up, met us on stage, and said, I'll have to work with the book to learn the blocking for this show. Because, of course, I know the music, mm-hmm, but I don't know how the show is blocked.
And every stage is different.
Exactly so. I think she had 3 days before we opened. When we opened, she was off book.
Oh, yeah.
And she was fabulous.
Oh, how wonderful.
Absolutely fabulous.
Oh, how great. That's such a wonderful show. When did you return to the Sharon Playhouse in Sharon? After The Sound of Music.
Yes, considerably after. There were a couple of shows that were done I wasn't involved with, so I don't remember titles or that
That's kind of thing.
I know they mounted a couple of shows to keep things going. But there was a golden opportunity that came up. Pam Provisor was still a board member at that point, as was I, and she and Evan Provisor were very involved in Tri-Arts at that point. Mm-hmm. And the place came up for sale.
Yep.
And she said, we have to buy it. If we don't buy it now,
we will
never get the opportunity to do it again. So they scrambled among friends, neighbors, whomever, and came up with enough money to buy it. It needed major renovation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
When I was doing shows in the Playhouse, we used to put boards across the floor in the basement where the dressing rooms were, because there were springs, and it would, with every rain, flood. So you didn't put anything that wasn't at least 6 inches off the floor.
Otherwise you'd lose it.
Correct.
Now, you always had, and I'm using the word professional, but for choreography and set design and costumes and that sort of thing?
We usually the leads were Equity. Mm-hmm. And we hired professionals to do the critical tech pieces as well.
Yeah.
Simply because...
it made more sense.
If you want to do a quality show, you have to put money into it for the technical pieces.
Sure. And that's important. Very important.
Well, you don't want to look like a bunch of amateurs.
Not really.
If you're selling tickets for a regular-looking theater, you want it to look like real theater, mm-hmm. not, and we have a barn, let's do a play.
Yeah, yeah. What brings people into the theater? There are certain techniques or certain plays that bring people in.
My feeling has always been, schedule as many community members and children as you can in any production. That will guarantee you a well-filled house.
Yeah. Well, I remember particularly the one that you were in, The Music Man. I just went to see Anything Goes, which was very well done. Nobody I knew. They were all from New York.
Mm-hmm.
I like theater, I like plays, but I really enjoyed the ones where I could see my friends and neighbors in it.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
In an area like Sharon, Connecticut, you have to involve the community.
Yeah.
Over the years when Sharon Playhouse was strictly Sharon Playhouse,
right.
That was what got them every time.
Yeah.
They would try to do New York theater north, expecting that people would come up from the city to fill the house. No.
Uh-uh.
They could see it in New York City.
Why should they take a train ride?
Exactly, exactly.
Who were some of the perpetual dancers, I will say? I know you said Pam Provisor.
Yes.
And who else?
Claire Rashkoff. Claire Rashkoff, Marge Stevenson, Sarah O'Connell.
That's enough.
And
Laura Belcher, too.
And Laura, yeah.
O'Connell or O'Connor? O'Connell?
I think it was O'Connell.
Is it O'Connell or O'Donnell? O'Connell? I'm sorry.
No, that's all right, because I know several people with similar names, and trying to sort out now which one Lori could tell you.
It's all right. Oh, you were in Oklahoma.
Yes.
And that was at Sharon Playhouse.
It was.
And you had a special role that you played with a descant.
Yes. Michael wanted to do the dream scene with a descant that he wanted to try out. Being a poor theatrical company, we only had mics for our primary performers. Everybody else
had to win.
Had to be loud. And normally, I'm loud anyway. But he wanted me to do the descant for this scene, and he wanted it to be heard because he felt it added another dimension to the dream scene. Not enough mics. What do you do? Well, being a creative person and thinker, he looked for someone who was not on stage during the scene. And he found one of our leads. So when that person went off, I went off, met him in the wings, and I sang into his lapel.
Oh, that's marvelous.
The audience never knew where that where that soprano voice came from. And I never told till now.
Oh dear. Well, the secret is out.
The secret's out.
Oh. Dear me. What were some of your responsibilities other than acting or singing?
I've done everything in theater you can do except direct. I never was interested in direct.
Really?
I've hung stage lights.
Yeah.
I've done lighting. I've done wardrobe. I've done costumes. Oh, one of my favorite occasions was when we did Barnum in Pine Plains. I served as dresser.
Oh, Lord.
For the lead.
Oh.
That was great fun.
I'll bet.
There were several very fast changes. So what we did, Dave and I actually choreographed his wardrobe changes. In his dressing room, we had every suit from jacket, vest, pants, shoes, and the accessories, top hat, cravat, eyeglasses, cane. Yep. Everything had its place and a specific order. He would come flying off the stage, grabbing stuff off him as he ran in the door. I would take a jacket, put it on a chair, hand him a jacket, then he put that on while I held out the pants.
Yep.
He slid the... We could do it in literally seconds.
Oh, sure.
We usually had 3 minutes.
That's a long time. Then you have it choreographed.
Which was plenty of time. He had time to check to make sure he had the correct eyeglasses, he had his gloves, had all of that, because we had it down to a science.
Yes.
And then off we'd go, and I would rehang everything in its correct spot.
Yep.
And the next song or two later, he'd be back, and we'd do it all again for a different setup.
Oh, but that's great. That's great.
It was great fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, you said that you finally left the theater part of it in 1998. Do you miss it?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything that you'd like to add, any stories or any other business that you'd like to add before we close?
Just that I have never mentally left the theater.
You're a teacher. We don't.
We don't. We keep going. But now it's my enthusiasm is all music.
Mm-hmm. Which is a wonderful transition. Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. Has been my pleasure.